Turn with me to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. And we're going to come down to verse number 32, beginning. Proverbs 8, 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise, refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. I want to talk to you on a subject this morning, spiritual suicide. Spiritual suicide. According to the dictionary, the word suicide means to kill oneself intentionally. It also means to self-destruct. During national disasters, such as a crash of a stock market, ones have been known who have been heavily invested, they've been known to take their own life. Each year, the statistics say around 5,000 young people between the ages of 15 and 24 commit suicide. And this age group alone, I understand, has tripled since 1960. Different reasons have been given for suicide, such as depression, financial ruin, ill health, bipolar, drugs, and so on. Threats of suicide have many times been stopped, and the person been able to live a normal life. These things are tragic, and when you hear of it, it's so sad. It's sad just to hear about it. But there's a spiritual suicide that's working amongst all age groups, young and old, and has taken countless lives into destruction. This suicide that affects the soul comes from sin. Sin is a terrible killer, surpassing every disease that's known to mankind. Sin carries with it no mercy. There's no man-made cure for sin. There's no vaccine that puts it in remission. There's no surgery done by man that can remove it. And it'll always cure the one who is void of that experience with Jesus Christ. There are many ways, I'm sure, to commit physical suicide. There's a fast way, there's a slow way, but the end is always the same, death. Spiritual suicide is much the same way. Sin can take you out of this world very fast, or it can remove you from this world very slowly. But the results remain the same. Death. Romans the 6th chapter, verse number 23, Paul writes this: the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. not a pain will be inflicted upon a sinner which he does not deserve. Not a sinner will die who ought not to die. Sinners, even in hell, will be treated just as they deserve to be treated. And there's not a man, amen, a more fearful and terrible consideration than this known to man. No man can conceive a more dreadful doom than for himself to be treated forever just as he deserves to be treated. Those that are in a lost eternity tonight deserve to be there. Amen. Our scripture says, Proverbs 8:36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Now, sin doesn't appear necessarily the way the proverb writer tells about it or describes it. Sin many times appears more deceptive. It appears many times, almost undetected. It gradually defiles the whole man. It affects one's personality many times. And when that happens, they become unpleasant to even be around. It affects their truthfulness. They start lying about their true condition. It affects their honesty. They cannot be trusted. It affects their trustworthiness. No longer, amen, can one trust them. Amen. It affects their morals. They begin following the desires and fads and degeneration of the world. Many today are filled with lust spirits, as when one is in sin and there's no defense to keep it at bay when one is in sin. Turn with me to Romans, chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, Paul writing. Now Paul gets in some pretty heavy, serious stuff in these verses. But let's read it together now. Romans 1:21, because that when he knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now this is, you'll notice in each one of these verses, you always read where God made the move next. Well, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use and that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. I'm reading some real vile sins here this morning. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, stay with me now for a little bit. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see two classes of people in this verse. Those who don't know God and those who obey not the gospel. Ones will be lost who don't know God and are not acquainted with the gospel as others. But others who know it, heard it, saw it lived in the lives of Christians, amen, vengeance awaits them at the judgment. Now here in this letter to the Romans, we have a sad picture of what happens when man leaves God out of his life. Verse 25 that we read said they changed the truth of God into a lie. How do you change the truth of God into a lie? Well, here's a people that had departed from God. And the beginning of all evil is when we depart from God. They were not in worship, but it was now, amen, the creature, not the creator. The human body is to be a means to honor its creator, God. But here were a people who changed their worship from the creature to worshiping the creature. From the creator to worshiping the creature. Verse 24 says, God gave them up to uncleanness. Now what does uncleanness actually mean? It means physical and moral impurities. This uncleanness got into their heart, didn't work its lust in the body. In Romans 1:26, we read it again. And for this cause, or this reason, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in her lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. But thank God there's help for the one that gets involved in that. Thank God. But I want you to turn with me to the Old Testament. I want you to turn to the book of Leviticus. There's nothing new under the sun. Somebody said, you believe all that stuff was going on before time? Let's read it. Leviticus 18, 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, look at that, which I cast out before you. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, verse number 9 and 10 says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It had been already of old time, which goes before us. Let me read that from the Amplified. Is there a thing of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in the vast ages of time recorded or unrecorded, which were before us. There is no remembrance of former happenings of men, neither will there be any remembrance of happenings of generations that are come by those who are come after them. Amen. There's nothing new under the sun. This that's going on today happened before time. Amen. Back in nations that God cast out. Now back in Romans chapter 1, what does vile affections mean? Well, that means disgraceful passions. But what was God's next move? Well, verse 28 says, and even as they did not to retain God and their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are convenient. What is a reprobate mind? It would be good if you look some of these words up sometime. A reprobate mind is a mind that is rejected. It's a mind that is worthless. And also a mind that is a castaway. What happens when one is turned over to a reprobate mind? They're filled, the Bible says, they're filled with all manners and kinds of lust, or we could say spirits. Sin fills a vacancy where the knowledge of God had once dwelt. You cannot fool around with sin and get by. You are committing spiritual suicide. And eventually, amen, you'll be destroyed if things don't change. Here was a people in Romans, the first chapter, headed for utter destruction. Not because the judgment of God brings it upon a man, but the judgment the man brings on himself when he leaves God out of his life. This is a description of what a man is like when he banishes God completely out of his life. Let's look at some of these sins. He said unrighteousness. That word simply means evil. Let's drop down and get a few more. Let's just hit a few of these. He says whisperers and backbiters. Now there's a difference in the two words. Even though they both deal with the tongue, there's a difference in both the words. The whisperer describes one who tells his stories of slander, but he does it in secret. The backbiter, which means also slanderer, this describes one who trumpets his slander far and wide. He openly tells his stories and makes his accusations. Of the two, the whisperer is the worst, for you cannot defend yourself against that which is unknown. Here in Romans, the first chapter, is a people who actually became haters of God. That describes a man who hates God because God is a barrier that stands between him and doing what he wants. He would gladly eliminate God if he thought it possible. It affects the whole man. Sin causes spiritual suicide. It destroys one's character. It destroys the harmony of a home. It destroys one's health. It binds one with habits that eventually destroys many healthy tissues in their body. Sin separates, and oh, how it separates. How it separates the family of God. It separates one from God. You know, I got to thinking last night, in the study, I got to thinking, it would be terrible to be separated from God, knowing all that I know. What a terrible thing to put up with a gnawing conscience when you once served God. Isaiah 59 and verse number 2 says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. It was sin that caused Adam and Eve to be driven from the garden. It was sin that caused Cain to raise up and kill his brother. It was sin that led David into adultery. It was sin that took Judas to a terrible, terrible death. It was sin that crucified Jesus. It was sin that caused Saul to persecute the church. Sin separates friends. Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Another translation says it this way, he who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoso repeats the matter separates close friends. Sin will separate husband and wife. In the vows that we take, and you know, people zip through those vows many times, I feel, and don't even realize what they're really saying. Doesn't the Bible say it's better not to vow a vow than to vow a vow and not keep it? In those vows that ones take when they're married, other words, to love and to cherish till death do we part. But today, it's not death do we part, but rather when we have a disagreement, we part. Sin will separate the strongest of homes where it's allowed to continue. Now, Church of God, one of the main reasons couples can't get along is that God is not present in the home as he ought to be. Couples don't worship God in the home as they ought. Now listen to me, church. In the services is not the only times God should be worshiped. And parents, let me give you some advice to parents. Parents need to cut the apron strings when their son or daughter gets married. Why? They got a separate home. Amen. So just take a scissors and cut those apron strings when they get married. But couples, when you leave God out of the home, you don't have time to pray together. You don't have time to read the Bible together. You're asking you're asking for trouble and you're going to get it. Guaranteed, you're going to get it. Now, a lot of times people don't worship in the home together because many times they throw up their hands, many times they're at odds with one another. They're not getting along. But I'll tell you, one of the best things a couple can do, and you're definitely not going to feel like doing it, is when you have a disagreement. It's amazing if you get down and pray how that disagreement just is gone. It's gone. But at the time you had that disagreement, you don't feel like praying. You don't feel like doing anything. But God knows if you would do that, bring God into the equation. And when you bring God into the equation, it's amazing how that thing, amen, just disappears. And also when you bring God in, God brings you closer to one another as you get closer to God. But I'm afraid in many respects, God is not worshipped in the home as he ought to be. You can't get your soul fed just three times a week, Wednesday and Sunday. There's got to be some personal time. If you're married, there need to be some couple times. Couples getting with God. I enjoy it. Amen. Reading the Word of God with my companion. There's only one problem I have when we read the Bible together. After I get through, I'll read a chapter or a verse, or she'll read a chapter. But after I get through reading the chapter, I have to wait. Because I know she's going to ask a question. What does this mean? What does that mean? What are they doing? Many times I have to say to her, I don't know either. But it's just the fact you bring God into it. God loves to be in homes. There are people selfish today. They're doing their own thing. And their children are going to be scattered to the four winds. People bouncing around from one congregation to another. One congregation to another. Their children don't have faith in any congregation. Why? They've heard them talked about. They've heard the pastor talked about. Amen. From the time they get home to the time they leave again. And it filters right down to the wife, the children. And next thing you know, they view the Church of God as just another church in the phone book. And the Church of God is just not another church in the phone book. The Church of God is the apple of God's eye. It's the apex, amen, of the churches. Look at the effects of sin on an individual. Go back with me to Proverbs 8:36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That word wrongeth means that he harms himself. It breaks a man or a woman down physically, mentally. It makes one old before their time. Wrongeth his own soul. Otherwise, it's not Satan. It's not sin, properly speaking, that hurts him, but he hurts himself. He's what? He's filled with his own ways and desires. If he had received the teachings of God, sin would not have dominion over him. If he resisted the devil would have fled from him. It affects one's conscience. Oh, a troubled conscience. Even in the still of the night, when it's all quiet, the conscience speaks. It thunders out its voice of remorse. Right when you're just settling down to get a good night's sleep, conscience will speak. Conscience will trouble you. There's nothing worse than battling a conscience that condemns you. It takes away joy, takes away happiness, and makes life miserable. It's always talking, even when you're conversing with somebody else. Conscience doesn't shut up. Again, it takes away all your joy, takes away happiness. Amen, you can't enjoy yourself. It makes life one miserable life to live. Lastly, sin deceives. It misleads the soul. Sin will give ones a religious spirit which has replaced salvation. They will think they are right when they are wrong. That which glitters many times loses its luster when the reaping comes. Sin many times ends like Judas, but if it doesn't physically, it will destroy morally. It may work slowly, gradually, deceptively, but it always ends in death. Listen to the words of the wise man. And we're going to close after this. Let's go back to Proverbs again. And let's start in at verse number 33. Proverbs 8 and 33. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. He went on to write, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. In these verses, the wise man points out a way to stay away from sin. What is it? Hear the word of God and don't rebel against it. Desire it and stay in the house of God. Amen. If one thing I ever heard preached to me when I got saved was read your Bible, come to church, pray. Those three I heard over and over and over again. And when you put them into practice, it keeps you from sin. It'll keep you from falling. But people get lazy today. They get lazy. If they don't want to come to church, stay home. If they don't want to go to church, they want to go somewhere else, they go somewhere else. Amen. But always keep in mind, life is fragile. Life is fragile. Here today, in the newspaper the next day. Desire to stay in the house of God. Don't sit at home when the services are going on. I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm talking about when you can be at the house of God. Don't sit at home looking at a lie when all you had to do is get up, get your lazy body dressed, and if you have to, drag it into service. Somebody said, why? You got influence. People don't understand that. They got influence. They ask, they'll come and ask me one evening, where's such and such? I don't know. Are they sick? I don't know. I didn't get no prayer request. Then you find out, they just stayed home. Why? They just felt like staying home. It's easy to watch a live, click on the old live, and stay home and kick your feet up, eat your little snacks, and lay back, and if you get too tired, shut the live off and go to sleep. Amen. One thing, and I've said this before, when I got saved, one thing you talk about ignorant, I was ignorant. And I know a lot of you were too when you got saved. Very, very ignorant of things of God. But one thing we did do, and I got four children here to prove it. We went to the house of God. We went to church. Amen. And we didn't take excuses. Now our children were just as normal as anybody else's children. There'd be times maybe when they got older, they wanted to do something else. But mom and dad, as long as he's under our roof, they went to church. And I'm glad I taught them that way. I have no regrets on teaching my children those things. Why? When they're old, they won't depart from it. Now, they may depart from God, but they're not going to depart from the training they received. Amen, growing up in the home. But I'm going to tell you, parents, we got a tremendous responsibility. And when your children see a lax attitude in your life, that same thing is going to come right down to them. Well, mom and dad do it. Mom and dad do it. Why can't I do it? It's not do what I say. It's do what you see me do. I had a superintendent at Rockwell, and in his office, he was a manufacturing manager out at Rockwell. And his name was Roger Davidson. Somebody said, you shouldn't repeat his name. He passed away. But in his office, I loved working for him. He had a sign, and that sign said this, lead by example. Lead by example. You want to be a minister, then lead like a minister would act if he was called into the ministry. You want to be a Sunday school teacher someday? Lead like a Sunday school teacher would lead. How is that? Get into Sunday school yourself. Lead by example. What was the message? Spiritual suicide. Don't play around with temptations. Don't play around with sin. Why? It's going to get you. It's going to get you. Temptation will just keep you working your father and father away until it actually pulls you to the part. Will you partake and lose out with God? As we bring the message to a close this morning, those of you that maybe are troubled in soul, don't stay that way. Get your conscience cleaned up. Get your conscience back where it needs to be. Get the joy bells ringing once again in your soul.